Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our study through the book of 1 Corinthians as we continue through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Paul knew there's a difference between law and grace. And months ago, I read something, and we have some new folk here that hadn't heard this before. And it's nothing that I wrote. I added a couple of things to this about the law and grace, the difference between law and grace. How many of y'all remember me reading this months ago? That's what I thought, three or four of you. Okay, so I'm going to read it again. Remember, I was talking to a preacher this past week, and he was talking about preaching something. And I said, well, just preach what you preached last week, because he was trying to get a message together. I said, because they won't remember what you preached Sunday, so preach it again. The difference between law and grace. The law prohibits the approach to God. Remember in Exodus, God was giving Moses the law on Mount Sinai, and he said, don't let people come to this mountain. If they do, I kill them. Remember? Even the animals. Anyway, the law prohibits the approach to God, but grace invites the approach to God. Law condemns the sinner. Grace redeems the sinner. The law says, do this and live. Grace says, it's done. Law says, try. Grace says, it's finished. The law curses the sinner. Grace blesses the believer. The law slays the sinner. How many of y'all been doing your devotions? If you're in the book of Leviticus and all, it talks about all these sacrifices and other things that if you do this, you're going to die. Okay, that's what the law does. It slays the sinner, but grace, it saves the sinner. The law shuts every mouth. Grace opens every mouth in praise. Law condemns the best man, but grace saves the worst man. Amen. Law says, pay what you owe. Grace says, it's paid in full. The law says, the wages of sin is death, but grace says, the gift of God is eternal life. Law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But grace says, believe and live. Law reveals man's sin. Grace atones for man's sin. The law gives knowledge of sin. Grace provides redemption from sin. The law was given by Moses. Grace comes through Jesus Christ. The law demands obedience. Obey, obey. But grace gives the power to obey. The law is written on stone, remember? Grace is written on our hearts. Law is done away in Christ. Grace abides forever. The law puts man under bondage, but grace sets a soul at liberty. Law brings fear, and I guess so, man. Again, I just read in Exodus, because I've been going to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and I'm going through it, and also Matthew. Anyway, those folk were scared to death. Moses come off that mountain. He had that. He was glowing that. Remember that Shekinah glory. They had to cover him up because the presence of God was upon him. But yet the people were afraid. They're afraid to move. Law brings fear, but grace brings peace. And these are the two I added to it. Under the law, the sheep dies for the shepherd. Under grace, the shepherd dies for the sheep. What a difference! And under law, man brought the sacrifice to God. Remember? Man brought the sacrifice to God. But under grace, God brought the sacrifice to man. What a difference between law and grace. And Paul knew all about that. Remember, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So when he said unto the Jews, I became as a Jew. Now, let's go a little bit farther with this. Paul could still minister to the Jews, even though he knew he was no longer under the law of the Mosaic law. He still could fit right in with them. Let me give you two examples. In Acts chapter number 16, verse number 3, turn with me there real quick. I want you to see this. Acts chapter 16, verse number 3. Paul had a young preacher boy named Timothy. We read about him in Timothy when Paul was addressing that. Remember his mama, his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, but his daddy was a Greek. Well, that's the background. Verse number 1, Acts 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish. The mother was Jew, and she believed, but his father was a Greek. He was an unbeliever, a Greek. How do we know he's an unbeliever? Because he specified the mom was a believer and the dad wasn't a believer, but he was a Gentile, a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Don't go any farther, which was well reported. What was well reported? That Timothy's mom was a Jew and the daddy was a Gentile, a Greek. And everybody knew this. It wasn't a secret. Okay, it was well reported. So because of that, him speaking to Timothy, would Paul have to go forth with him? He knew Paul would have to take Timothy into places that there were going to be Jewish people. So what did Paul do? Paul took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew that his father was a Greek. So you see that Paul knew he had to minister within the Greek culture. He wrote in Romans and other places, listen, we know that circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing. But when he was ministering to those people, he knew that it would be a hindrance, a roadblock, that they would look at Timothy and say, we're not listening to him. I'm sure he ain't listening to you. He's an uncircumcised guy. Are y'all following?
Yes.
So he did that in order to minister to them. Now, there's another young preacher that he was close to. His name was Titus. You ever heard of Titus? Now, Titus, he didn't have circumcision. Have y'all heard this before? He had Timothy circumcised. Titus, he didn't have circumcised. It's interesting. Why one, not the other? Well, because of the different ministries they were dealing with. But don't you see what he's talking about? To the Jew, I became as a Jew, because he had to minister among those people. A second example, Acts chapter number 21. Turn me there. Won't you see this? Okay. Boy, there's so much here. Where should I start? Well, because of time, let me just get moved. Look in verse number 26. I'll get right to the point. He was dealing with some Jewish people and Gentiles. He kind of back and forth. Look at verse number 26. And then Paul took them in, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be made to every one of them. I want you to notice. Now, Paul took part in a Jewish tradition of purification. Now, we already know that Paul, he did this so that he could minister to the people in the temple. If he had not have done that, they wouldn't have listened to him. Is this kind of turning a light bulb on to you, or are you saying, boy, I'm real, it's as clear as mud now? All right. The point is, wherever Paul needed to minister to the Jews, if it did not violate Scripture, he would put himself in that position so that he could win them to Christ. All right. Paul's participated in these purification ceremonies, which he knew was not necessary for his own life. It's nothing, just like eating of meat. It's nothing. Whether you eat, you know, we know the meat's nothing, idols are nothing. But if it's going to cause him to stumble, I won't eat that meat. If it's going to cause him to stumble, well, I'll go through the purification ceremony so that I could be in the temple and communicate with them. He hoped it would build a bridge of ministry to the Jews. Paul loved the Jewish people and had a great desire to see them saved. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Many of you know this by heart, where Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. And whatever Paul had to do, matter of fact, in Romans chapter 9, he said, I would give my life if in order for them to be saved, if it needed to be, I would die for my Jewish brethren. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 10, he said, my heart's desire that they may be saved. So it was a small thing for Paul to go through that purification ceremony. Even though it didn't mean anything, he knew no one, like it means nothing. But he didn't want to cause anybody to start. Are you starting to see a picture here?
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.